So, this morning I want to pick up just on where we ended up last week. And if you have missed last week, the idea really was that it's so easy for us as Christians and as believers to, and in the day that we live, to be so full of knowledge, to be so full of the Word of God, but not actually be those that are doing what we know or what we believe. And we, for all of us, like, information is like seconds away. You can type in your phone. You don't even have to type. That's how easy it is. You can just say, hey, Siri, or hey, Alexa, or hey, Peter. Like, I'm joking, okay? But you can just say, okay, I want to know about this. And it will take and scour all of the internet and all of the knowledge that has been recorded. And it will give you all the points that you need in order to know exactly what it is you want to find. There is no discovery any longer needed for anyone. Previously, you would have had to read the Bible, the actual Bible, or a book, and read through the whole book in order to come to understanding what the author is actually trying to say. And then through that process, you would make up, is this good? Is this not good? But nowadays, we can just ask a question, and immediately it can summarize to you everything. It can give you the main points, what you think you should hear, or what you think you should know. And actually, we feel like we know now, and there's so much more that we know. But actually, the very thing that teaches us not just to have knowledge, but actually have understanding of the knowledge, is this process of discovery, where you read it, and you have to work it through, and if you have to go through everything, does it make sense to us? And we're in a place of where information about everything is so at our fingertips in a second. And so we become a people that are so full of knowledge. And we can tell you and find a scripture for you in a lightning bolt and say the right thing, but don't actually understand or have a true like revelation of what it really means. What that produces, it produces a kind of Christian that is full of knowledge, that knows everything, but actually do nothing. And we become these, like scripture uses this word, puffed up believers. And actually, God is calling us, all of us, since Jesus, He's called us into this place of where we are meant to live by faith, not by knowledge, not by understanding. Where we're called to live in belief of who He is, and as we get to know Him, live out more according to who we come to know Him. And Scripture has been given to us so that we can also, again, come to know Him. But the words in itself means no thing unless it's mixed with the faith, with the belief that Jesus is real, that He is active, that He's still alive. And only when we mix these things together do these words actually start carrying weight in us. I was thinking about it this week and reading a couple of things. Oh, I'm not going to go there. Like, this is a rabbit trail I need to kill quickly. Okay. So, let me get back. Sorry for that. So, it's a thing for us to make sure that what we believe and what we do, that those two things marry and that they are one and the same thing. If it is not, if our doing and our believing does not come together, then our doing will never really represent what we actually believe. And for the believer, for those who claim to be those that have been set free by Christ, those who have been given the seal of God as His children, if our believing and our doing do not look the same, we run into a big, big problem. And we end up not representing God and His kingdom, which we are here to do. We are ambassadors of His kingdom. We are here to represent God in everything that we do. In our workplace, in our family, in our secret place, where no one sees what you are doing, what you are believing, what you are even thinking. In those places, we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. So, as we get started here this morning, I think there's a couple of things just from last week. So if you missed it last week, don't worry, you're okay. But if you were here last week and I said one or two things that I felt like it's just of first importance to put right, okay? So most of you know that I'm Afrikaans actually, okay? And with that Afrikaner culture and nature, there is some things that just, it's part of my culture, okay? And I'm always working to unwork those things because even though I am Afrikaans, that's not where I find my identity in. I find my identity in Jesus and in the kingdom, okay? And I want to represent His kingdom more than what I want to be known as an Afrikaans person. Okay, do you hear me in that? Okay. So there was one or two statements that I made. And the first statement was kind of like an absolute statement. And Afrikaners are very well known for their absolute statements. And so I said that we come to church, we're loud in our worship, we sit in the preach, and then when Monday morning comes, no one ever reads their Bible. Did you hear me say that? I heard it said last week. My wife heard it said. And she spoke to me afterwards. But that's an absolute statement. And the reality is that for some of us, that might be true. For some of us, we sit here and we don't actually get into the Word. We don't give ourselves the time of day to spend time with God to know Him. But for some of us here, we do it. And so when that statement came, it is possible for you to have been offended by that and go like, but is my doing not enough then? So I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying that. It's not what my heart was meant to be. It's actually sometimes something in the moment. You speak and then when you realize, and I knew when I said it, I was like, oh, didn't want to say that, but I can't now. I need to. And so I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying that. It's not my heart. The thing is this. Let me just get my thoughts here. The only absolute statement that I want to make is that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that outside of Him, there is no life. Not in this life, and not in the next life. In this life, if we follow Jesus, I believe we will find life like we have found no other place. But in the next life, which is something I cannot yet testify of, but in that life, we will find Jesus high and exalted in His presence and being able to experience His glory. Because that is what His Word teaches me. And I hold on to that, and I believe that. And because I believe that, my very today looks a certain way, where I do not hold on to my own life, where I do not hold on to my own pleasures and desires. I don't seek it out. No, I seek out His kingdom, because I know if I seek out His kingdom, there is a kingdom, an eternity that is waiting for me with Him. Amen? And so these absolute statements are not helpful. And so Helen and myself, we have this rule in our relationship with one another. Helen is very rustig, quiet. She's not a very loud person. I'm very loud. And so when hi, I'm Afrikaans. Yes, I'm very loud. I grew up in a house where people were shouting at one another for fun. Okay, it wasn't. But then when it got angry, it really was shouting, you know. For Helen, it was like no one was shouting ever. So, but sometimes in the way that we fought, especially in our beginning years of being married, because married couples do fight. Okay, I don't know if you know that. We tend to miss one another and miscommunicate and misplace and misunderstand. But in the beginning years of our marriage, we would use the words always and never. And those absolute statements of always and never actually break down relationship. They break down the connection. And they don't allow for connection to go deeper. They actually push connection away. And so Helen and myself made this rule that we're not allowed in any circumstance with one another to use the words, you always or you never. Because that brings a thing forward that actually where something has happened, we should have spoken in that moment. Because the thing is, it's about relationship. It's about, if you hurt me, if you do something that I don't like, I want to know that I can feel safe to say to you, hey, this thing that you did here wasn't helpful. And so we have this thing of going like, hey, that's how we want to, even in our fighting, we want to make sure that we're contending for one another and contending for relationship. We're not contending to preserve ourselves. We're contending for deeper relationship with one another. And I believe in last week, in using that word, always and never, that wasn't fair towards you. And so I'm sorry. Okay. So, secondly, I took the Bible and I said to us that this is the Word of God, but it's not God. Now, in 1 John, Scripture says this, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When I said that this is the Word of God and this isn't God, that was not what I was referring to. And this morning, I want to explain a little bit and go a bit deeper into what I was referring to. Because I think there's something for us as believers to understand. Because it influences the way that we live out our life with God. Because this Bible, and I was last week wanting to do a couple of things. Hey, demonstrate. Thanks, Enrico. I was wanting to demonstrate actually how we feel about the Bible. If I were to take this Bible and all of a sudden rip a page out of this Bible, I'm going to have a couple of people here that have a big problem with that. But yet the very people that will have a problem with that, their Bible is sitting on the side of their bed, full of dust, haven't been opened. Because if we believe that this book is holy, and we fail to see actually the person that this book describes, he is the Holy One, and he is to be found, we miss it. And this morning, I would love for us to go into that. So, a couple of things as we get into this. 2 Corinthians 10 says this. We use, and I'm speaking about all believers, Paul is speaking about himself here, but it actually is applicable to all believers. It says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Can all of us agree to this? That if we think of the world and we think of like just how things go, the one thing that's trying to happen, like the enemy is trying to shift our focus on what actually is the truth, what actually God's word is, what actually who God is, and it's trying to distort that and bring false teachings. I mean, we've seen, you don't have to be on earth for a very long time to realize there's a lot of false thinking and false teachings all around. Amen? And so for us, for those that believe in Jesus, this is part of what we've been given. And as we spend time with people, as we walk with people, not just those who are preaching, no, we're all called to disciple people. Each and every one of us are meant to walk with all people, preach the gospel. And as we preach the gospel and people's lives are changed, we are meant to walk, to raise up those that don't yet know Jesus, to teach them the things that He has taught us to obey. And so this scripture fits straight into Matthew 28, where Jesus comes and gives the Great Commission. Amen? So, second one. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13, it says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, and it speaks of this life and the things that we face in this life. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. God has called us to endure in this life. He's called us to stand. He's called us to be those lighthouses, those safe places for those who are lost, for those who are in need. And He's given me and He's given you His power in us to, in a dark place, be able to stand. And for those who are hungry, that they can see, hey, there's something to find here. For those who are anxious, for those who are depressed, to go, hey, there's a lighthouse there. I don't need to sit in the dark. I can go there and I can find the light of God. That's what all of us are called to, not just some. No, why? Why am I saying it? Because each and every one of us, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become part of His kingdom and of His body. And by that, you are marked by His Spirit. And His Spirit inside of us will produce light into this world. It is not for some or few. There might be some that are more gifted in areas. But that is not a working of their own hands. It's God that distributes that. He says to each one has been given a measure of grace. And if my grace is 1,000 people versus someone else's grace to be one person, the measure is this. Have you been faithful with the 1,000 and have you been faithful with the one? I cannot go, because I have, I'm just throwing out numbers here, you get what I'm saying. So just, if I've only been to 300, have I been faithful with the measure that has been given to me? No, I've not. Because my measure is 1,000. And the grace has been given for me to measure out to the 1,000. But if my measure is one, and the grace that's been given to me is one, and I've been to the one, have I been faithful? Yes. And so when we stand before the Lord on that day, the one is going to be faithful, and the other one is going to be left wanting. Now, I can't determine that for you. I can only determine that for my own self. But the call for all of us, me including you, is that we give ourselves to the Lord and allow Him to work in us. And as He works in us, it is meant for Him to work through us. It's not meant for us to just have this head knowledge where we can quote all the scriptures. We know what everyone else needs to do, but we don't have to apply it to our own lives. Now, we can say to everyone why it is important not to sin. But when we are alone in our room, we cannot keep ourselves from porn. We cannot keep ourselves from alcohol. We cannot keep ourselves from thinking dark things about other people. If that is our lives, then we've got to realize there's something wrong. There's something missing of where we are knowing a lot, but we're not actually living in it. So, in what I'm saying here this morning, my aim is this. It's not aimed at any one person, okay? It's not aimed to condemn you, and it's not aimed to break down. If anything, my aim is to break the false thinking and to break the rebellious thinking in us. Because I can say to you, in my own heart, there is false thinking and there's rebellious thinking. And if it's there in my own heart, I'm sorry to say this, but it's there in your heart as well. Because all of us have a sinful nature and it's warring against the things of God. That's why we need the Word of God to come and break down those things. And we've got to allow the Spirit of God to illuminate and highlight those things in us. Because those things have no place in the Lord. The aim here is to break down those. Secondly, the aim is that we, me and you, are able to stand firm. Because that's what Scripture says to us. We just read it. Is that we could stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. And the schemes of the enemy is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants to kill God. He wants to steal everything that is God's. And he wants to destroy everyone and anyone that subscribes themselves to God and is part of God's ownership. That is his scheme. And if that is his scheme, we cannot for one moment not be aware that he doesn't come to deceive, that he doesn't come to give us false arguments. Amen? And so we want to stand in those places so that when they come, that we are not thrown by it, that we don't fall as collateral to that. The hope is this, and the joy of it is also this, that we're not fighting on our own. Our salvation is not something that we just chose. It's something that God came and he gave us salvation. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us the forgiveness of sins. And he showed us who he is. And in that moment of showing us who he is, we had a choice, free will, to say, God, I see who you say that you are. And because of that, it rings true in my being. And therefore, I give myself to you in this moment. I let go of my life. I let go of my thinking. I let go of my desires. Because I realize in this moment, you are high and exalted. And you are truly the Son of God, the Savior of all. And it needs my life. So there's a part that he does, but there's also a part where we commit ourselves. And so in this, and what we're talking about here, it's not just the work of we need to work hard. No, there's a part where we relent and we surrender into God's arms. We surrender into him. Let me just check here. Quentin, is your baby here? Where is she? Any baby. Give me any baby. Sam. Hello, my friend. Come here.
quickly come here.
Sam is such a cool guy. Can I quickly pick you up? Relationship with God is us allowing God to pick us up. It's giving over to Him. And then saying, Lord, take me where you need me. And wherever God places us, wherever He puts us down, that's where we are. His heart is not for you and me to run around in this world that is scary, it's full of evil, it's dark, having to fight off all the things of the enemy. No, He sends an invitation to us and He says, come to me. All those who are heavy laden, who are burdened, come to me and I will give you life. Thanks, Sam. You're a superstar. Yeah. Cool, dude. No, He invites us in. He says, give over, surrender. That's the place where we are meant to walk with God. Surrendering is not knowledge. You can have all the knowledge and not submit yourself to God, not surrender into His arms. Only place where you can surrender into His arms is if you allow the pride that's in your heart for thinking that you know something because you know all of this. Where you're able to let that go and say, God, actually, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Everything that I know, it cannot save me. It cannot stop me from giving into the sin that's in my life. At times when I struggled with porn, in those moments, all the scriptures that I knew would come into my mind. You know where you're going. Your cell phone or computer is open. And you know in that moment, oh, this is what God is saying. I know I shouldn't do this. And before you get yourself, the next moment, hey, that thing is in front of you. And all that knowledge didn't have any effect. But until the day that I actually said, God, I realize I've got all this knowledge, but I don't know how to apply it. It's got no effect in me. Until I realized that, I said, God, I want to submit myself to you. God, I want to surrender to you. I don't want to assume I know anything. God, I come as one that is weak. I come as one that is a sinner. I come as one that needs a savior. I need a safe place. I need that shield. I need that strong tower because, God, this thing is overcoming me. And until I could take that thing and just lay down at His feet and say, God, I'm in your hands, I couldn't overcome it. But when I did that, God came and He took away the weight of that thing. And now when I fight it, now I go like, no. When this thing comes to me, I see it threatening my safe place. I see it threatening my comfort I find in God. I see it threatening the peace I have in God. It's not the scriptures that are in my mind just going down. No, no. It's the scriptures that are mixed and they are intertwined like a woven rug with the Spirit of God. And they're not just words, it's not just knowledge, but it's understanding and revelation that leads to experiencing and seeing God in a deeper way. That is what God wants for you and for me. So, I'm so way over my time. So, I quickly want to get to this. Okay. John 5. Verse 39 says this, you search scriptures, and it's Jesus speaking here, and just before we get there, it's Jesus speaking here, and in this moment, just before, you can keep it up, okay, Before this moment, we see that the engagements between Jesus and between the Pharisees are massively like ramping up. And they are actually going like, we need to kill this guy. If you read earlier in chapter 5, they actually say, we need to kill this man. Because he just, before this, he actually defied the Sabbath. And he was working and he was in that moment of defying the Sabbath. They address him and they kind of confront him. And then he says this. He speaks to them and he says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. How many of us think like that? I know I have. I'm sinning, I'm struggling, and the thing I think, okay, if I read more Bible, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock, and then I'm going to read a whole chapter of the Bible, a whole book of the Bible. And we think that the more we do that, it's going to give us eternal life. It's going to give us redemption. It's going to give us forgiveness. Did it ever work for anyone? It didn't work for me. I don't know about you. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Crazy. This is Jesus' words. See, the reason why we're preaching what we're preaching, we are not like Netflix that are going like, what's the flavor of the month? Are we leading to Halloween? So let's have a lot of horror movies. Are we leading to Christmas? Let's have a lot of Christmas movies. Are we heading to Valentine's? Let's put a lot of love stories. No. We are trying to assess, God, what are you saying to your church, to your people? You might think that this is an organization. I want to say to you, it's not. Just because we've got a logo, and we've got a building, and we've got a sign at the front, doesn't make this an organization. No. This is a living organism. It's the body of Christ. It's His bride. And each and every one of us play a part. It's not that you have to or that you must. It's you cannot but play a part. If you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, He has grafted, that's what the word that Scripture uses, He's grafted us into His body. You are part of His body. And you're either going to be a part of His body that is allowing the lifeblood and the life force of His body to enter you and work through you and start pulling you in the work that it's doing, or you're going to become a cancer that is dead and it just sucks life, but it doesn't add any life. It actually fights against the body. I'm one of those people that, like, sometimes I'll get these mussies and I don't know the English for that. A mole, okay. Not the animal, but a mole. Just joking. And it's like these pieces of like skin tags. And it's like where the skin just grows. It's got no purpose and it actually just takes away. And so I go to the doctor and then they cut it off. Because there's nothing to it. And I think for many of us, the way that we look at the church, the way that we look at what our role is in the kingdom, we end up becoming like skin tags and moles. But God's heart is that we are part of the life force of it. Amen? Did you know that there's nowhere in Scripture, not one statement, where it says that the believer needs to read his Bible? Do you guys hear that? Yet when we speak, lees jou Bybel betelke dag, betelke dag. But there's no place where the Bible ever says that you need to read it. Can I tell you what the Bible does say? It's not going to come up there, but let me. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures, God breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It equips believers for every good work. Matthew 4, verse 4. The Bible, or the Word of God, it's like bread. Don't just live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any other two-edged sword, dividing between flesh and bone, marrow, spirit, natural. 1 Peter 2. Long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in salvation. The spirit, the word is spiritual nourishment to us. But never once does it give us the instruction or the command that thou shalt read your Bible, memorize the verses, be able to quote it, be able to give scripture references, be able to... Not once. The false arguments is this. If I read it and I know it, I find eternal life by it. Exactly what Jesus said. This is where my salvation is. No, it's not. No, this, reading it, inscribing it on my heart, on the doors of my heart, is because I have found the one that gives life. I have found the one that takes away the hurt, the pain, the weight of this world, that brings me peace and joy in the darkest of situations. I have found Him. And in finding Him, I open up His Word, and all I'm looking for is another piece of Him. All I'm looking for is to find Him. I don't want to be look like I know what I'm talking about. No. I'll be a fool. If that means I get to know Him, I get to have Him, I get to taste Him, I get to see Him, I'll be a fool. They can trample on me. The world can throw everything they want at me. They can treat me unfairly. They can kill me. They can take everything that I have. But I won't let go of the fact that I get to have Him. He is all that matters. Not my flesh, not my reputation, not what I have. Him. So when I get into His Word, I'm not looking for knowledge. I'm not looking for that scripture verse that's all of a sudden going to change my life. I'm looking for the words and the whispers of a Savior. And when I find it, when I find it in that moment, I say, God, would you come and do this inside of me? Would you come and work this inside of me? Because I know when I step out of that secret place, when I step out of that moment of having found Him, I'm going to be full HD, exposed and encountered by someone that's either against Him or someone that is looking for Him. And in that moment, I don't want to be me. I want to respond like He's responding, because He I've come to taste is pure life, pure love, pure peace. That's what I want in that moment. And without Him, I cannot respond in His way. Because no amount of knowledge is going to change your life. So, worship team, if you guys can come up. And I kind of want to end off with this. You know, there's churches around us, even here. In our local vicinity, across the internet, that use this word expository teaching. And I've recently listened to a church just down the road. And they open up their service like this. And please understand, again, I'm going to say this. I'm not speaking against any one person. I'm not speaking against a person. No, our battle that we fight here is spiritual. Okay? And I want to break down thought patterns that are contrary to what I read in the Bible of what Jesus' attitudes and what He is all about, what His church should look like. And they open up their preaching. And when they open up their preaching, they say this. Here in this church, we preach only what Scripture says. And week for week, year after year, they take the Bible and they preach line after line. And they use the Bible to only preach what the Bible says. I don't disagree with that. At all. Because here in this church, we preach Scripture and only Scripture. We don't go beyond it, but we don't exclude any of it. We don't exclude any of it. We preach the full Word of God. But it doesn't look expository. At least our heart is not that you would experience that it's expository. Because we're not here for you to have knowledge of the Scripture. We're here for you to experience the Son of Man that has come to give life, bring salvation, loosen the burdens and the loosen the things that binds people to knowledge. We're here because He is alive. And He's not given us the Word so that we hold on to it and make this God. No, He's given it so that we can come to know Him. So that we can come to Him who alone can save. He is the absolute statement of all life. And He's given us this. And they preach from their pulpits. Going like, we are only the truth. I want to say to you, it's not the truth. It presents itself as something that is spiritual. But just like the Pharisees, it carries no power to change a life. It is the Spirit of God that changes lives. And when they preach, I don't want to be controversial, but I am going to be. They preach, but they baptize babies. Thinking that this is the way that God has intended for it. They preach week after week. Yet not one moment are they able to put their preach aside. And say, God, what is it that your Spirit is saying? What is it that you are busy doing? Hebrews tells us this. Whenever we gather together. He has given a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, to build up, to encourage, to exhort the body of Christ. Because it's alive. It's not an organization. It's an organism. And it needs nourishment. Yet Christians, believers, fall for this thinking because it presents itself as people that know God. No. Jesus, the one who is Scripture, never did expository teaching. What did he do? He used examples of everyday life. He said, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is found here. Because he wanted people to know him, not come to a structure or a law. Because in him, he's living and he's active. And I want to say to us, we need to make sure that we don't do the same thing that the Pharisees did. That we forego the living King for the Holy Scriptures. It's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. No, the Holy Spirit. And together they testify. Together this word testify of Him who alone is our Savior. And so unless we're doing what we believe, we're not actually following Jesus. Because if that was the truth, then all of us can just go study theology and you'll be saved.